Well, it's a great privilege to be here tonight to speak about one of the seven capital sins, and that is the sin of envy. The sin of envy. Now, when I was a little kid, I remember hearing a story about two men that were in some sort of a hospital on the fourth floor, and one man had a bed by the window, the other one didn't. And the man who had a bed by the window was a very loving person, and he would always be able to look out and describe what was going on outside the window, namely the beautiful valley and the fields and the trees and the houses and the playgrounds and the children playing. And every day he would describe all the things to his friend in the next bed, who was paralyzed and who could never look out the window. Well, this went by month after month, even year after year. So finally, the man in the other bed got so envious and so jealous, he would try to do anything to try to get the other man's bed by the window so he too could see all these beautiful things that were being described. And so he even hired a friend of his to come in and killed the man in the bed by the window, suffocated him one night. Well, the next day, the funeral home came in, took away the man's body, and the nurse's aides came in, and the man who had not been in the bed by the window said, could you do me a favor? Could I now have this other man's bed so I can see out the window? And so they said, sure, the bed's empty. And so this man, the paralyzed man, was moved over to the bed by the window. And he, for the first time, was able to look out. And he looked through the window, looked down, way below, and all there was a brick wall. Just a brick wall. There had been nothing there. And so his envy, his jealousy, had taken the man's life. So tonight we consider one of these seven capital sins, the sin of envy. I remember hearing that story as a little kid, and it stuck with me, because envy leads to some terrible, terrible things. So I'd like in this short little talk to just basically, let me give you the brief outline of the direction that I'll take you. First of all, I'll just describe what envy is. I'll define envy for you. And then I'll give you a few examples from sacred scripture of envy, and then talk about the effect that this sin has on our life. And then lastly, conclude with talking about how to overcome envy and jealousy. What is the remedy for this sin? So first of all, let's start with a definition of what is envy. Envy is sadness or discontent that we experience when we see other people's talents or achievements or property or good fortune or excellence or success. It's the sadness and discontent that we experience over somebody else's good. Envy makes us somehow feel deprived that there's people that have something that we don't have. So it has a sense of our deprivation. It's actually a sin against the virtue of charity. Now, in our lives, you know, we might be envious of another person's beautiful house, maybe the nice clothes that they wear, maybe their fancy car that they drive, maybe the job that they have, how much vacation time they get. Maybe we're envious or jealous over another person's wealth. Maybe their spouse, maybe the beautiful children that they have. Maybe we're envious of another person's good looks or their health, maybe their talents, maybe their gifts, maybe the friendships that they have. Maybe we're even envious or jealous about their virtue and how close to God they are and how holy they are. And in fact, that's the most serious kind of sin, is spiritual envy, which is sadness at the supernatural gifts and graces that another person's received from God. In other words, the worst kind of envy is to envy sanctity or to envy somebody else's holiness. Now, jealousy basically is very similar, but not exactly the same thing as envy, because jealousy also implies an unwillingness to share one's own possessions with another person. So jealousy also includes a form of selfishness. So an envious person cannot bear to see the good fortune of another person, and therefore seeks by words and deeds, actions, to do the other person harm. And this could be done by spreading lies about another person, detracting from the person's good name, committing the sin of calumny against them, or even physically bringing harm to the other person. So that's envy. That's the definition of envy. Now, what about some examples from sacred scripture? Well, basically, the Book of Wisdom tells us that it was because of the sin of envy that the devil came to lead our first parents, Adam and Eve, into sin. The Book of Wisdom, chapter 2, verse 24 says, "By the envy of the devil, death came into the world." You see, Satan had already fell from grace. And because he saw Adam and Eve, who were created by God in a state of sanctifying grace with many special gifts, Satan envied our first parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise because they had everything that Satan had lost. And so he wanted to do them harm. Physically killing them was not nearly as bad as killing them spiritually, bringing about their spiritual death, which he did by tempting them. And when they committed that first sin, the original sin, he brought about their spiritual death and separation from God. So that's the first time we see envy in the Bible, right there in the book of Genesis, the third chapter. The devil leading our first parents into sin because he envied their relationship with God. Second, another example of envy from the book of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 5, is Cain envied his brother Abel. Remember the story? Cain was a farmer. He offered God some of the fruits of his harvest. And Abel was a shepherd and offered God his very best sacrifice, the very best lamb, perhaps, or the very best animal. And it says, God was pleased with Abel's sacrifice, with Abel's offering, but not with Cain's. And so it says, Cain envied his brother Abel because Abel offered a pleasing sacrifice to God. And what did Cain do? Cain killed his brother Abel. And it says, Abel's blood cried out to God for vengeance. And then, a number of chapters later in Genesis, chapter 37, verse 8, we see another kind of envy. We see the sons of Jacob were envious of Joseph. Remember, Jacob had all those sons, and Joseph was his favorite son. He's the one who had that special coat. Remember that technicolor coat that they always have plays about in high school? Well, the brothers were envious of Joseph because of his relationship with his father, because he was Jacob's favorite. And so what they wanted to do, they wanted to kill Joseph, and they had even plans to do this. But his brother, I believe it was Reuben, said, no, don't kill him. Let's put him in a cistern. And later on, Reuben was going to come back and get him out of the cistern. But as they were doing this, a caravan going to Egypt came by, and so they sold their brother into slavery because of jealousy and envy. So you remember the story of Joseph. He was sold. He was put in prison. And while he was in prison, he was able to interpret dreams. And he was able even to get out of prison because he interpreted dreams. He became Pharaoh's right-hand man and was the one who even was responsible for keeping Egypt from going into famine. So actually, Joseph is a foreshadowing of Jesus, because when he went down into the cistern, that represents Jesus going into the tomb. But then he was brought out and raised up, and Jesus now sits at the right hand of the Father, just as Joseph was put at the right hand of Pharaoh. But think of the envy of Joseph's brothers. Another example in 1 Kings chapter 8 is the example of King Saul envied David on account of David having slain Goliath and David's victories in war. Remember the passage where David comes back and Saul comes back from battle? And it says that the women were all singing hymns and praising, and they said, you know, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000. And Saul became jealous and envious that they were giving David a lot more credit. And so even Saul tried to kill David. Remember, he tried to throw a spear at him. And that's what envy can do. It can even lead to such terrible things, even as murder. Another example of envy from Scripture is a parable that Jesus taught about the owner of a vineyard who went out in the morning, at noonday, and afternoon, and even late afternoon to get laborers for the vineyard. And it says, even late afternoon, the owner hired the men who only worked for one hour. And what happened when the owner started paying all the different people? Well, the ones that had been there all day were envious. They were envious of the fact that this guy only worked an hour and got the same amount of pay as the ones who had worked all day long. So our Lord used this as an example to show how bad jealousy and envy is. Jesus even said, why should we be envious if God is generous? And we think of someone like the good thief, who Bishop Sheen said was such a good thief, he stole heaven even at the last minute. He was a thief to the end. Now, we shouldn't be jealous or envious that he got into heaven at the very last minute. We should praise God and thank God for God's generosity of grace. And the last passage from Scripture that shows envy is how the scribes and Pharisees were envious of Jesus because Jesus was working miracles. He had the crowd following him. And Jesus even worked miracles like raising Lazarus from the dead. And it says that the scribes and Pharisees were even determined not only to kill Jesus, but to put Lazarus back to death because so many people were following Jesus. That's in John chapter 11. So we see envy and jealousy throughout the Scriptures. Spiritual writers tell us how detrimental envy is to our spiritual life. You know, many of the saints have said that the virtue in which we imitate our Lord is the virtue of love. But the sin by which we imitate the devil is the sin of envy. And St. Vincent Ferrer says, when a person is envious, they're imitating the devil and the demons. When a person loves, they're imitating Christ. So what are the effects of envy in our own spiritual life? Well, first of all, envy robs us of our inner peace, our peace of mind, our peace of heart, and our inner contentment. Envy makes us lose joy within our soul, and it brings about sadness in our spiritual life. As Mother Teresa said, if you want to spell joy correctly, it's J-O-Y. Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. Now, it's just the opposite for sadness. Sad is self first, another person or another thing second, and divine things third, the things of God, divine things third. So if we want to lose our joy, we're envious. We'll be envious. If we want to have joy, we need to get rid of envy. Now, envy also affects a person physically. Envy is like a cancer within a person. It's a spiritual sickness. You've heard the expression, that person is green with envy, because it's a kind of a sickness. It's a slow form of suicide. Like what rust is to iron, envy is to the soul. And the Bible even says that it will affect a person physically. Ecclesiastes 30, chapter 30, verse 26 says, envy shortens a man's days. And it leads also to all sorts of crimes. As I mentioned before, gossip, calumny, detraction, but even to sins such as murder. And so if envy is unrepented, if it's a serious envy and jealousy, it could even lead to eternal separation from God. And so envy is destructive physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Envy is a kind of a poison that could be within a person's soul. And lastly, what are the remedies of envy? How can we get rid of envy? Well, if you have an illness, you need to take an antidote. And the antidote for envy is love. Love is the opposite of envy. So love is the answer. So we need to pray and ask God for the grace to get rid of envy. And we do this by a number of ways. First of all, by imitating Christ, by trying to imitate the thoughts, words, and actions of Jesus, and also imitating the saints. And we should look to some of the great saints, even in the ones in Scripture, to give us examples for not being jealous or envious. I can think of a couple examples off the top of my head. First one is St. Andrew. He's a great person to pray to if you feel envious or jealous. Remember, Andrew was the first one that Jesus called to be a disciple, and yet Jesus did not choose him to be the first pope. He chose his brother Peter. And Andrew is the one who got St. Peter to become a follower of Jesus. So Andrew is not jealous of the fact that Jesus chose Peter to be the head of the church, the leader of the apostles, and the first pope of the Catholic Church. Another example from Scripture is Saint Elizabeth was not jealous, not envious of her young cousin Mary, who was to be the mother of God. Elizabeth was blessed because she was the mother of John the Baptist, the precursor to the Lord. But when her young cousin Mary, that young, beautiful woman, came, and Elizabeth was not jealous or envious of the fact that she herself was not chosen to be the Messiah. So pray to St. Elizabeth if you're ever feeling tinges of envy or jealousy. And also, the Blessed Mother herself was not envious or jealous of the apostles when our Lord left home and went about his public life and now would spend his time with the apostles, forming them, training them as the apostles for the Catholic Church. So Our Lady was not jealous to lose Jesus, but instead willingly gave Jesus to the apostles, who in turn became the first bishops of the Church. So we can use the example of St. Andrew, St. Elizabeth, and the Blessed Mother and pray for the grace of charity, of true charity and concern for the other person. Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That's the hallmark for being a Christian. But to be a follower of Satan, St. Vincent Ferrer says that if you're envious and jealous, that means you're not imitating our Lord, you're imitating the devil. So the way we can overcome the sin of envy is by praying, by asking God for the grace. And one recommendation I'd like to give is recommending that we memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Paul's treatise on love. Love is patient, love is kind. What does Paul say? Love is not jealous. Love is not envious. So true love is just the opposite of envy and jealousy. So what I recommend to people is that they write 1 Corinthians 13 on a piece of paper and put it on their mirror. And every time you comb your hair in the morning or getting ready for work, read that over and ask God for the grace to really live out 1 Corinthians 13. Another way to grow in this virtue of charity is by devotion to our Blessed Mother, by praying to our Blessed Mother, who is the model of love and the mother of love. And right now we're in the year of God the Father, and the virtue that we're trying to grow in is the virtue of love. So by praying the rosary, by growing in devotion to the Blessed Mother, we can ask her to help uproot the sin of envy from our hearts. And lastly, acts of charity. The corporal and spiritual works of mercy are ways in which we can grow in love. To feed the poor, to give drink to the thirsty, food to the hungry, clothes to the naked, visiting the sick, the imprisoned, the shut-ins, those in nursing homes and hospitals. If we do the works of mercy, then we're doing the works of love. And this can help us uproot envy and jealousy within our hearts. Also, the spiritual works of mercy are so important. To counsel the doubtful, to instruct those who don't know their faith. In fact, these are the works of the Legion of Mary. And I encourage you, when the Legion starts here, I believe next week or sometime, to get involved. Really pray to our Blessed Mother and ask her for the grace to call you to belong to the Legion of Mary, so that you too can do these wonderful works of mercy, of visiting the sick, the hospitals, the nursing homes, the shut-ins, and doing these wonderful things that can help uproot sin from your heart, especially the sin of envy. So let us pray, ask God for the grace, and ask our Blessed Mother to intercede for us, that we may imitate her love for Jesus. God bless you.